From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hi listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voanews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here's Newsline, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo says that the need for specialist doctors supports Indonesia's demographic bonus. Indonesian Foreign Minister says OIC owes independence to the Palestinian people. And the UN condemns violations of press freedom related to the course of Al Jazeera. And now the news in details. The first news. Meeting the need for specialist doctors will support Indonesia's demographic bonus, which is estimated to occur in the next 10 to 15 years. This was what President Joko Widodo said when inaugurating the main organizing teaching hospital-based specialist doctors education program on Monday at RSAB Harapan Kita, Jakarta. President Joko Widodo said that when the demographic bonus is realized, Indonesia will have 68% of the population of productive age.
Tetapi 68% usia
but 68% of population of productive age will be useless if their health is not good. Therefore, we really have to prepare and plan it and overhaul the things that are lacking. We have to improve. In dealing with the lack of doctors and specialist doctors in Indonesia, the president emphasized that breakthroughs need to be made, including by mobilizing 24 medical faculties in Indonesia and 420 government hospitals to produce more doctors. On that occasion, President Joko Widodo explained that the ratio of doctors in Indonesia is still around 0.47 per 1,000 population. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization states that each country has a doctor ratio of 1 per 1,000, so that one doctor in a country serves 1,000 people. The Ministry of Health, through the Health Transformation Program, facilitates 420 hospitals out of a total of 3,000 hospitals in Indonesia to train more doctors and specialists outside of university channels. Continuing to the second news. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized that the Organization of Islamic Cooperation owes independence to the Palestinian people. She conveyed this when attending the 15th session of the OIC Islamic Summit in Banjul, Gambia, Saturday. In a statement from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs quoted by Antara News Agency on Sunday, Foreign Minister Retno said that the Arab peace initiatives and the OIC decision that peace with Israel would only be possible if Israel ended its occupation of Palestine. According to Retno Marsudi, this decision sends a strong message to Israel, namely that without independence for Palestine, there will be no diplomatic relations. Retno emphasized that in this difficult situation, the OIC must unite to defend justice and humanity for the Palestinian people. She hopes that the OIC will focus on all of its attention on Palestinian independence. The OIC is also expected to encourage an immediate and permanent ceasefire. The third news. The positive mark made by the Thomas and Uber 2024 team has made the Minister of Youth and Sports Dito Aryotejo optimistic that Indonesian badminton players will be able to maintain and continue this positive trend until 2024 Paris Olympic. Quoted by Antara on Monday, Dito asked all athletes from several other sports who have qualified for the 2024 Paris Olympics to continue to focus on participating in national training in preparation for the 2024 Paris Olympics. The Indonesian badminton team is currently trying to add representatives to the 2024 Paris Olympics. In the men's singles number, Anthony Ginting and Jonathan Christie are in the qualifying zone for the Olympics. Ginting is in 6th place, while Jonathan is in the 9th place. In the women's singles number, Gregoria Mariska Tunjung is in the qualifying zone for the Paris 2024 Olympics in 7th place. Meanwhile, for men's double, Fajar Alfian, Muhammad Rian Ardianto is projected to be the only Indonesian men's doubles who will qualify for the 2024 Olympics after finishing 7th in the Race to Paris ranking. The fourth news. Indonesian representatives took part in the Hakata Dontaku Festival, which is the biggest arts and culture festival in Fukuoka, which was held on Golden Week 3rd and 4th May 2024. Quoted by Tempo, coordinator of the Social and Cultural Information Function of the Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo, Maynarte Fauzi, in her statement in Tokyo Sunday, said that Indonesia's participation in the Hakata Dontaku Festival would further strengthen Indonesia-Japan friendship and cooperation. Indonesian representatives consisted of the Embassy of Republic of Indonesia in Tokyo together with the Indonesian Student Association in Fukuoka and the non-profit organization Teman Hati. They performed various arts and cultures such as angklung music, Balinese dance, Saman dance, and topeng ireng in front of around 2 million spectators from various regions in Japan, including foreign tourists. More than 250 students, intern, and the Indonesian diaspora wore various traditional Indonesian clothing such as Javanese, Betawi, Kalimantan, Sulawesi, and Balinese traditional clothing touring Fukuoka City. And the fifth news. UN spokesperson Stephanie Dujarric said that the United Nations expressed its opposition to any deviation from the principles of press freedom regarding closure of the Al Jazeera broadcast station in Israel. Previously on Sunday, the Israeli government anonymously decided to close Al Jazeera's local office, Jazeera, and stopped the news channel's operation in Israel because it was considered a security threat. Israeli Communication Minister Shlomo Karhi immediately signed an order to close Al Jazeera's office in Israel, confiscate its broadcast equipment, block its website, and cut off the broadcasting channel from the cable and satellite companies. Karhi later posted a video on social media showing Israeli authorities raiding Al Jazeera's offices in Jerusalem. The Qatar-based news network strongly condemned Israel's action that violate human rights and the basic right to access information and emphasized its right to continue providing news to the public. And the sixth news. South Korean news agency Yonhap, citing information from the Korean Ministry of Defense Sleetan, reported on Sunday that 9 of the country's military personnel will take part in Cyber Flag online training, which will take place in the state of Virginia, United States, from 5th to 11th May 2024. This online training is designed to improve multinational cooperation skills in countering cyber threats and sharing intelligence information regarding enemy cyber attacks. The South Korean military participation in cyber training in Virginia is the third time since Seoul joined for the first time in 2022. Not only South Korea, 18 countries participated in Cyber Flag this year, including the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, which consists of the United States, Britain, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. And the final news. Efforts to cease fire continue to be carried out mutually, release that detain hostages. Quoted from AFP on Monday, the negotiation went through and continued in Qatar. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Sunday that giving in to demands to end the war would be tantamount to defeat. Meanwhile, Hamas leader based in Qatar, Ismail Haniyeh, accused Netanyahu of sabotaging the negotiations. A source with knowledge of the discussion told AFP that CIA Director Bill Burns was expected to hold emergency talks on mediation efforts with Qatari Prime Minister Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani. Meanwhile, residents of southern Gaza City told AFP they fear an increase in violence if the ceasefire falls. And that is the news.
Here is today's commentary on the 15 OIC Summit results in Banjul Declaration. I'm Dalot Pane. The 15th session of the Islamic Summit Conference was held in Banjul, Gambia on May 4 to 5. The theme of the summit was enhancing unity and solidarity through dialogue for sustainable development. The main spotlight in the summit was the Palestinian situation. The 15 OIC summit itself resulted in the Banjul Declaration, in which 34 points were directed to answering the challenges of the Islamic world in the future, including the resolution of Palestinian conflict. In this very declaration, the leaders affirmed their solidarity in facing the humanitarian disaster that struck Gaza Strip and the people in it. Every nation on the planet were urged to take action in stopping genocide by Israel's occupation and other temporary actions instructed by the International Court of Justice. Every effort must be done to accelerate the shipping of the humanitarian aid for the people in Gaza and refuse every attempt to kick the Palestinians out from their land. The OIC leaders also affirmed their strong support for the Palestinians to be independent and have a sovereign territory according to the borders in 1967, with Al-Quds al-Sharif as its capital. The international community was also urged to force the Israel occupation to comply with international law and UN resolution. Failure in doing the two will only prolong the conflict, cause further suffering and regional instability, and lower down the chance for the two-state solution. The Banjul Declaration praised the role of the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, in helping the Palestinian refugees. It also invites all to keep supporting UNRWA in carrying out its historic mandate and responsibility. The declaration also called for an immediate and unconditional truce and cessation of aggression against Palestinians in Gaza. Discussions result implementation and agreement achieved in the 15 OIC summit were expected to answer the future challenges for the Muslims jointly, including a solution for the Palestinian conflict. That was commentary.
We begin today in history on May 6th with the event in 1967, when the Zeppelin Hindenburg exploded. The Hindenburg disaster was a plane crash which occurred on May 6, 1937 at 7:25 p.m. At that time, a German Zeppelin Hindenburg plane was destroyed by fire in just a few minutes. The plane caught fire while trying to dock at the Tyrod at Lakehurst Air Force Station in New Jersey, United States. The ship caught fire and was completely destroyed, resulting in the death of 35 people out of the 97 people on board, who were crew and passengers. In addition, one person on land also lost a life. We move to the next event in 1941, when Joseph Stalin became Prime Minister of the Soviet Union. Joseph Stalin was born with the name Josef Besarionidze Djugashvili on December 18, 1978. Stalin was a revolutionary figure and politician in the Soviet Union of Georgian descent. He was head of state of the Soviet Union from the mid-1920s until the end of his life in 1953. With the title General Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union from 1922 to 1952, and head of government of the Soviet Union from 1941 to 1953. Although he initially ran the Soviet Union as head of oligarchic single-party regime that ruled with a relative majority of vote, Stalin eventually became the de facto dictator of the Soviet Union in the 1930s. As a loyal practitioner of ideas resulting from the interpretation of Marxism according to Leninist theorists, he contributed to standardizing these ideas into Marxism-Leninism, while his own policies eventually became known as Stalinism. We end with the event in 2002, which is celebrated as Childhood Stroke Awareness Day. In the United States, strokes are among the top 10 causes of children death. People believe that strokes only occur in the elderly, even though strokes can attack all ages, even babies. In 1996, parents or guardians of children with hemiplegia united to form a community. The association was called the Association for Child Hemiplegia and Stroke. Pediatric Stroke Awareness Day is an initiative of Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, initiating the first program dedicated to pediatric stroke survivors in 2002. Following the hospital steps, the United States Senate passed a resolution in 2007. This resolution aimed to designate the first Saturday in May as Childhood Stroke Awareness Day. And that's Today in History.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled Indonesia has the potential to become the fourth largest economy in the world. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Panjaitan, said that to achieve the vision of a golden Indonesia 2045, Indonesia needs to strive for consistent and sustainable development. The minister stated this while attending the Jakarta Future Forum as a keynote speaker on Friday, May the 3rd, as quoted from the official account maritime.go.id. According to him, with the resources it has, Indonesia has the potential to become the country with the fourth largest economy in the world. Its natural resources, vast landscape, large population, and strategic location become a resource that can be utilized to encourage the acceleration of the national economy. He said there are five important aspects to achieve a golden Indonesia 2045. Indonesia needs to be in the top five countries with the top economy in the world, reducing poverty to 0.5 to 0.8%. Apart from that, Indonesia needs to have a global strength index to be in the top 15 countries in the world, human resource index to 0.73, and reduce greenhouse gas intensity by 93.5%. Coordinating Minister Luhut Panjaitan also said that even though Indonesia is facing global challenges, the stability of the Indonesian economy is still maintained. Even the weakening of the rupiah is still at a controlled level with low inflation. According to him, Indonesia's condition is better than other countries and emphasized that the government is not only developing the ecosystem but also building an ecosystem. Therefore, the government is carrying out downstreaming for both nickel and seaweed. Apart from developing downstreaming, in this decade, Indonesia has consistently increased connectivity both on land, air, and sea. Indonesia has accelerated the development of toll roads in the past 9 years, such as the Trans-Jawa Toll Road and the Trans-Sumatra Toll Road. Indonesia has plans to build toll roads with a total of 18,000 kilometers connecting cities in Indonesia by 2050. Another effort made by the government is the development of government technology or GovTech. This program is to increase the efficiency and effectiveness of government work. That was my Indonesia today.
Sini. bagus kan? Ada yang nyusunnya kayak gini. Bagus kan?
Menarilah bersamaku dengan bintang-bintang. Sambutlah diriku untuk memelukmu.
Terlaku ingin kau
menjadi Miranda Eksekutif Spa.
Bandel ya. Cepat dulu. Ayo.
Untuk memintamu aku ingin jalani bersamamu. Coba dengan
ada api di atas kayu. I love you.
Ku ingin jujur apa adanya dari dari hati.
Ada kayu kena paku. I love you too.
Dari hati.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Dear listeners, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder comes to you with the title Git Git Waterfall in Bali. Listeners, Bali is a tourist spot that is famous for its beauty. Apart from being famous for its beach tourism, Bali is also famous for its waterfalls. The most popular at the moment is Git Git Waterfall. Git Git Waterfall is located in Git Git Village, Sukasada District, Buleleng Regency. The distance from the Bedugul tourist area is around 16 kilometers, while from Denpasar it is around 66 kilometers. If waterfalls are usually in the middle of the forest or on steep cliffs, this waterfall is located between residential villages and clove plantations. The tourist attraction is very easy to find. Apart from being not remote, there is also a clear sign pointing to the locations of the Git Git waterfall. This is one of the reasons that makes the Git Git waterfall busy with domestic and foreign tourists. The Git Git waterfall has a height of around 35 kilometers and is the highest waterfall on the island of Bali. This Git Git waterfall tourist attractions offers fresh natural mountain water in a pristine forest environment. This place is very suitable for trekking tourism lovers because the terrain here is ups and downs and also winding. Before arriving at the waterfall, you will be treated to an exotic view. To be able to see the Git Git waterfall up close, you have to pay an entrance ticket of 20,000 Indonesian rupiahs per person for adult and 17,000 rupiahs per person for children. This ticket price information may change over time. To get to the Git Git waterfall locations, you don't need to worry because the road and stairs at Git Git waterfall are well maintained, making it easier for tourists to visit.
That's Indonesian Wonder. Bye-bye.
Tetap semangat.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Di Samarinda. Di Samarinda, which means in Samarinda. You will listen to a conversation about saat musim hujan, saat musim hujan, which means during rainy season. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a passenger in APT Pranoto Airport, Samarinda, East Kalimantan. Chris and the passenger talked about the weather in the airport and in their destination. Let's listen to the conversation. Menurut informasi, saat ini cuaca berawan. Di bau-bau, apakah akan hujan ya, Bu?
Mungkin saja, Pak. Bulan April di daerah Sulawesi masih musim hujan.
Semoga cuaca bagus selama perjalanan. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. Saat musim hujan, saat musim hujan, which means during rainy season. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. April, April, which means April. Sulawesi, Sulawesi, which means Sulawesi. Musim hujan, musim hujan, which means rainy season. Bulan April di daerah Sulawesi masih musim hujan. Bulan April di daerah Sulawesi masih musim hujan, which means in April it is still rainy season in Sulawesi. Informasi, informasi, which means information. Saat ini, saat ini, which means currently. Cuaca, cuaca, which means weather. Berawan, berawan, which means cloudy. Hujan, hujan, which means rain. Semoga, semoga, which means hopefully. Bagus, bagus, which means good. Perjalanan, perjalanan, which means trip. In this conversation, you will listen to the expression Bulan April di daerah Sulawesi masih musim hujan. Bulan April di daerah Sulawesi masih musim hujan, which means in April, it is still rainy season in Sulawesi. There is the expression musim hujan, which means rainy season, a period with a high chance of rain. The expression musim hujan, which means rainy season, was used by the passenger when talking with Chris about the weather in airport and in their destination. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples of expressions about weather. Musim kemarau. Musim kemarau, which means dry season. Sawah-sawah menjadi kering saat musim kemarau. Sawah-sawah menjadi kering saat musim kemarau, which means the rice fields dries up in dry season. musim dingin. Musim dingin, which means winter. Jam kerja Chris lebih singkat saat musim dingin. Jam kerja Chris lebih singkat saat musim dingin, which means Chris's working time is shorter during winter. Indonesia only has two seasons, dry season and rainy season. The rainy season has more chances for rain, while the dry season is marked by hot weather, dried up nature, and low chance for rain. The two seasons were affected by Indonesia being in the tropic or equator. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Menurut informasi, saat ini cuaca berawan. Di bau-bau, apakah akan hujan ya, Bu?
Mungkin saja, Pak. Bulan April di daerah Sulawesi masih musim hujan.
Semoga cuaca bagus selama perjalanan.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about saat musim hujan, which means during rain season. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Menemukanmu or Finding You by Pandika Kamajaya featuring Dapur Music Project. The song, which was composed by Yudi, was first released on March 27, 2011 and popularized by the Indonesian band Seventeen. The song tells the story of a man who finally finds someone who can mend his broken heart. This man is happy and a little calm because he has found someone who can heal his heart. Well, listener, let's enjoy the keroncong version of Menemukanmu by Pandika Kamajaya featuring Dapur Music Project. Let's check this one out.
Separuh langkahku saat ini berjalan tanpa terhenti. Hidupku bagaikan keringnya dunia, tandus tak ada cinta. Hatiku mencari cinta ini sampai kutemukan yang sejati. Walau sampai letihku kan mencarinya, seorang yang ku cinta.
Selamatkan hidup.
waktu kita bersama tuh selamanya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, that's our programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI_official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.